to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Glad to be able to be here. Been quite a while. Don't know very many of you here. We want to invite anyone who can to come visit us at Shining Light. It's only 4.5 hours from here. We don't have this big of a church, so don't all come at one time. But we have plenty of room for plenty of visitors. So come share with us and worship together with us. Conrad got in contact with me about a message for this morning. I wasn't sure what to think. We were in Mississippi for a family reunion, so we had a lot of mileage to cover. But God has given the word. He's always faithful. When He wants us to speak, He gives us something to speak about. If we look to Him and wait on Him. The key is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the last verse. You can turn to that. 'Tis what we're going to be talking about this morning. I was thinking about Thanksgiving. That was on Thursday, and I'm assuming you probably had a Thanksgiving message last Sunday. So this is somewhat along that line, but in a little different aspect. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." We'll talk a little bit about God's unspeakable gift. So when you think about unspeakable, is it some secret that we can't know about, that we can't talk about? Is that what he's talking about? You know, there's a lot of things in life, in the world around us, that are unspeakable sin that we shouldn't even talk about. And we don't talk about those things. But what about this gift? Is that what it is? You know, as I get around in a lot of Christendom today, many act like it's an unspeakable thing. They don't share the good news of salvation. Too embarrassed to talk about it. Is that you? Is that me? Do we share what God has done? Thank you, Derek, for that devotional on forgiveness. That is part, a big part of the unspeakable gift, is God's forgiveness. We're going to look at that a little bit. But this unspeakable is talking about this gift that is not expounded in full. God has not actually shown us everything about the gift of salvation. He gives us pieces and parts through the Word of God. If you study it, there's a lot there. But there's various passages that show so many aspects that we take for granted, that we can find, that is unspeakable, that's not expounded in full, or is indescribable. So as we think about that salvation that God has given to you and I want us to turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and we're going to pull a number of our thoughts from this passage, thinking about this unspeakable gift, that gift of salvation. You and I are each born with carnal nature. You and I are born people that are prone to sin. All kinds of different sins. And we can look at a lot of different places and see a lot of different lists. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read a verse here that says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." I think as Christians today, that's a very important verse to remember. That's probably one of the things that we struggle with. probably the most. Earlier in this chapter, it talked about lying, giving place to the devil, corrupt communication, and such like. Chapter 5 talks about fornication in verse 3 and uncleanness, covetousness. Oh, do we struggle with that? Let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. So you think about that. Bitterness, wrath, anger, all kinds of fleshly things. It's what you and I are prone to. Every one of us sitting here, we're prone to these things. And God extended his unspeakable gift to people that don't deserve it at all. Every one of us is undeserving of that gift. And yet he has given it to us. Are you properly thankful for that gift that God has given? He has freely given it, not just sparingly, but freely given it. So Ephesians chapter 2, let's turn back over to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1. We're going to kind of go down through this and pick out a few thoughts as we pass through this passage of Scripture. It says, "And you hath he quickened." And quickened there means made alive. To be made alive, it means you had to have been dead. "And you hath he quickened." And here he says, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we talked about a few of those sins. He says we were dead. Something that is undesirable. But God, with his unspeakable gift, has made us alive as we accept that. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So we are children of disobedience in our own selves without that unspeakable gift. "For Israel," in our Sunday school lesson, to be able to watch those walls fall down and have victory over that, they had to be obedient. Exactly what God said. Otherwise, I don't believe God would have brought the walls down. But they had to be obedient. Verse 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation, our life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So does that look like a desirable people to extend the gift to? God created you and I, every one of us, and he created every one of us to bring honor and glory to him with our lives. And yet it says here, our life without God is in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But God, verse 4, "who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." That quickened there is talking about being reanimated. How do you live your daily life? Are you living a life that in thankfulness for that unspeakable gift that is reanimated? You know, I think about, and I watch people, listen to them talk, and they might, on the men's side, there's a lot of farmers here, so you might animatedly talk about the tractor you purchased or whatever that you like, whatever kind it may be. You may be very animated in describing the hunt you were on. The ladies might have animated conversations about fabric or whatever. And I know I have 5 girls, so I know a little bit about that. You have your things. Each side of the house, we have our things that we can become animated about. But if we are thankful for God's unspeakable gift, are we reanimated, made alive again? We have zeal for what God has done for us. That's my burden. Does your daily life show that? Is there thankfulness showing forth for that gift? Is it evident to those about you? What is the evidence in your life? That's something you and I each have to answer, that question. How is it evident? Verse 6, he says, well, last part of verse 5, he says, by grace ye are saved, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he took us from the low end, a life of sin, serving flesh, and raised us up so that we can sit together with Christ in heavenly places. That in the ages to come, you note this, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He has given us some of it here in his word, if we study it, about this unspeakable gift. But it is so large that it's going to take the ages to come when we're in heaven with him so that we can actually see what he actually did with us sinful creatures. Are you sharing that with others? Is it coming forth from your life, your daily life? That kindness, that mercy that he shared, that forgiveness that he shared with you and I. What is the evidence in your life? Does it show in your home life what Christ has done for you? The forgiveness that he has extended. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift that is given. Freely given to you and I. Do we value that like we should? And I had to think about that in that question number 7. And I didn't hear all the answers on that in our Sunday school lesson about victory. If we're having a struggle with victory, at least in my experience, it's most of the time because I am not viewing God and thankful enough to God for what he has done for me. So many times we put ourselves on a pedestal that doesn't belong there. And then we have struggles with victory in our lives when self is raised above what it should be. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God created you and I. We can't make enough brownie points to merit this indescribable gift. He has freely given it. But then you and I are created unto good works. Before we were ever born, God created us, gave us a mission to share the plan of salvation with others. That was before you and I were born. Are you sharing that mission with others? Are you sharing that gift with others that he has extended to you? Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There's another picture of you and I outside of Christ. Outside of that unspeakable gift, that indescribable gift. We were without Christ, aliens, strangers, without no hope, and without God. That's not a good picture at all. Are you aligning yourself with Christ? Are you sharing the good news of salvation to others? Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new flesh, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So as I think about what all Christ has done for me, what he has done for you, how he came from the glories of heaven there with the Father and came down to earth to be among men, be hated, spit upon, beaten, no place to lay his head, and then he was beaten again and again. He was hung on the cross, which was the most cruel form of punishment. Those nails were driven through his hand for you and I. Everyone sitting here. Everyone in the entire world. That is an unspeakable gift. Do you value that as you should? Do you value that in your daily life? Because as we allow that to work in our lives, then we can be brought together. We can have peace with God. We can have forgiveness of sins. And we can have joy, and we can share it with others. We have a responsibility to share it with others. If that unspeakable gift, if you have that valued properly in your life, it will show in your home life. It will show in spousal relationships. It will show in my relationship with my children. It will show in church life. Can your brothers and sisters in church, in your church, tell how much you value this unspeakable gift? Can they feel your thanks? Are you quick to serve wherever the need is? In reaching out to those about you, in your neighborhood, do your neighbors know the value of that unspeakable gift? Do you share it with them? When is the last time you helped one of your community neighbors? When is the last time you mowed their lawn or repaired something for them? That unspeakable gift is working in my heart. There's needs all about us. They're on every hand. We don't have to look very far. When is the last time you took them a meal? And we just had Thanksgiving Day on Thursday there. When have you invited them into your home for a meal? They might have dog hair, cat hair on their clothes. We could think of different ones. Do you invite them in? Do you show that unspeakable gift to your neighbors? If you really value that gift that God has given to you, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to do that, to show the good news. That's how we share it with them. Show that good news to them. Invite them to church. The best way to invite them to church is to share, is to help them. That helps to open their hearts. How do you treat or speak about your fellow church family? Those are questions that we have to answer. This is an unspeakable gift, an invaluable gift that God has given you and I. Let's turn back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we started from. I'm going to read a few verses here. We're going to start at verse 6. And I want us to think about some results. And I've raised a number of questions for each one of us to search our hearts about. But we're going to look at a few things in this passage. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Do we see anything in here? He says, if you sow sparingly, and you know about the sowing the fields, if you skip the seeds, whatever you're supposed to, and I don't know much about what things are supposed to be, spacings and all that kind of thing. That's for you farmers to do. But if you try to only put about half of the amount of seeds down that you're supposed to, do you expect a good harvest? Not at all. And you do it in your garden, you plant half as much as what you know you should. Are you going to get enough harvest for your family? That's sowing sparingly. And what does he say? We're going to reap sparingly. We're only going to get a portion of the harvest, what we really need. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that is exactly the way it works in our Christian lives. If we're not willing to share and to reach out and encourage and be thankful, don't expect a lot of good things in your own life. I think that's what God is also telling us here. If we're not sharing that unspeakable gift, we're going to have other struggles in our lives, in our spiritual life, that could be avoided because we're not doing our responsibility. Share bountifully. Share bountifully those good deeds, that gift that God has given to you. If we do sparingly, there's going to be little results. Verse 7, he says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Sow with purpose. Give with purpose. Share with purpose. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes effort. At least it does in my life. It takes effort. It doesn't, sharing and helping others doesn't happen when it suits. What do you do when the neighbor lady comes to your house at 9 o'clock Sunday morning and says, "My heat doesn't work"? Are you going to go help? When someone calls you at 9 o'clock Saturday night, another elderly neighbor says, "I have a water leak. Can you come help? I don't know how to shut it off." Are we willing to go do something about it? Even if you need to teach Sunday school Sunday morning, have devotions. God does the increase. When we're faithful, he gives us the words to speak. Another thing we see, it says, "So let him give, not grudgingly." God loveth a cheerful giver. So cheerfully. If we go help that neighbor grudgingly or of necessity because we just have to do it, we feel like we just can't find some good enough excuse not to do it, don't expect to get a blessing from it. But if we do it out of the kindness of our heart because what God has done for me, for you, then we can expect a blessing. God gives a blessing. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God's benevolent grace is poured out in the life of the faithful person. That is sharing the good news. Sharing that unspeakable gift with others. And I see and hear for myself, he says, that ye having all sufficiency in all things. I see and hear that as we share the good news with others, God makes sure that we have everything that we need for our life. And he will do that to you, each one of us, as we share his unspeakable gift. If we are thankful enough for it, for God's unspeakable gift, we will share it with others. And as we share with others, it comes back to us in our own lives. Which goes on to verse 9 and 10. He says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now I'm not here to preach a health and wealth gospel at all. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. But I'm here to say that as we serve God with all of our hearts, we study his word with all of our heart, and we share that inspiration with others, God in turn helps us in our own struggles. I'm speaking from experience. God multiplies what we share with others with thankfulness and applies them in the needs of my own heart. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So that all ties into verse 9 and 10, that we are enriched in everything, in the needs of my life. As I am thankful to God for his unspeakable gift, God in turn does his part. Verse 12 through 15 says, for the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When we share that unspeakable gift that God has bountifully supplied, it also takes care of the needs of the saints. When someone shares in a devotional this morning was on forgiveness. Sometimes there is an issue that we may be struggling with in our lives, and a brother shares whatever God lays on his heart. We don't know what someone is struggling with. I don't know, most of you people here. But when a brother shares, sometimes the answer, if our heart is open, we receive for whatever we need. It takes care of the needs. And it helps so that they can have thanksgiving to God for his unspeakable gift. I believe in verse 13, he's talking about that we should share liberally. He says their liberal distribution. We should share liberally. Share what God has done. If you're praying for something, someone that is sick, whatever it may be, maybe there's some kind of need, and you're sharing together, you're praying about it, and God blesses whatever way it may be, speak about it and thank God for it. Share that goodness of God to others so they can be encouraged. And verse 14 is talking about praying for each other. Are you and I faithful as we realize what God has done for us, praying for each other that we could all be faithful? But I believe there is a sure gauge on the value you and I place on this unspeakable gift. Some gauges that we can think about. And each one of us has to search our hearts on. I'm going to speak fairly bluntly. I don't know you, so I'm going to raise some questions. Am I consistent in my church attendance? not just Sunday morning. I'm talking about Sunday evening, prayer meetings, whatever meetings it may be. Can I be counted on to be there in participating? If I do not value that unspeakable gift, then I won't be at church very regularly either. That's just a part of it. If you value what Christ has done for you, you will be here to worship together. If you want victory in your life, you will be here to worship together. Are you available? Another gauge is, are you available when asked for a devotional or a Sunday school teaching, whatever is needed? What your answer is tells as a gauge. Do you have excuses? It's easy to have excuses. I can come up with excuses too. All of us can. You know, I think about that. All of us have the same 24 hours in a day as our brother and sister has. So that brother or that sister that asks you about teaching Sunday school, you say, well, I don't have time. Is that a reason or is it an excuse? It's something we need to really seriously consider. You know, I thought of plenty of excuses why not to preach here this morning. You know, I was down in Mississippi over 1,000 miles away at a family gathering that we drove 2 days to get there. We're only there for 2 days. And then I'm asked about preaching here. If your preacher would make the same excuses that you do, how much church life would happen? It's just a question we got to think about. How much church life would happen if he put the same amount of effort into preparing a sermon as what you or I are willing to put into it? You know, we traveled over 1,000 miles yesterday, and I couldn't study while we're traveling because I get motion sickness. But God still gives us a word if we're open and we say, yes, I'll do it with your help. God took care of the traveling things. To travel over a thousand miles in one day over a holiday traffic, a lot of things can happen. A lot of traffic jams. We had a lot more traffic jams heading down through than we did yesterday. God blessed our travels yesterday. We were able to be here this morning. Are you properly thankful for the unspeakable gift that God has given to you, has made available to you? Or are you just being a bench warmer, unwilling to share that gift with others? What will God have to say? We all know, we read God's word, we know that Christ is coming again. What will he have to say about my service to him for his unspeakable gift? Have I shared it with those about me? Have I reached out to those about me? We know that judgment day is coming. We know that many are going to hell. Are you going to share that message of salvation? What will God have to say about my service? So we need to share it and share it and share it. That time is short. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If we are properly obedient to that verse, it will show to others that we value that unspeakable gift. Are those things prevalent in your life? Being kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. Remember, Christ has forgiven us of many, many things, many, many sins. Are you willing to forgive others? Let's kneel for prayer.